So this is a weekly update in the UK and it's sunny, right? Which is not exactly what I was expecting. And it's not only sunny, but I'm in a really epic place, which is McLaren. Now, for those of you who are not car people, McLaren make many awesome cars. They have made many, many awesome race cars and many awesome road cars as well. And someone popped up on Twitter the other day and said, would you like to come and look at the McLarens? And yes, I'm now here at the McLaren. So massive thanks to James for lining that up. That was an absolute highlight of this trip. So I've just been over there with my mate Lars as well, wandering around, having a look at epic race cars and epic road cars. So another really good experience from meeting people on Twitter and just going, hey, look, you want to catch up and say good day. Had a really nice few experiences, few meetups in London on Sunday as well, doing the same thing. So I am in London. This is McLaren. I've done the little visitor thing. They've got epic badges as well, epic visitor passes. But what I've been doing most of this week is I've been at the NDC conference. And I've sort of written and said many times before how awesome the NDC conferences are. I have done a lot this week. I've done a two-day workshop in London, which was great. That went really well. I recorded two Pluralsight courses on Wednesday. So you're going to see another couple of courses come out soon. I did one with Lars, who I just mentioned, on personal branding and identity. One with my mate Aaron Powell as well on Azure, moving beyond websites, doing things like web jobs, doing functions, other things that are just different to what we're normally used to in the way we create things online. So they were all cool, did those on Wednesday. Thursday, I went into the city, spent some time with Checkmarx, did a talk for them. They're a great security company, really enjoy working with those guys. I did my talk last night, I did one of my talks last night, did the fun talk, Make Cyber Great Again, which was really fun. As you can guess, did have a little bit of Trump in it. And of course, today is the Trump Inauguration Day as well. Let's move right past that. Did that one. Also did a fail talk last night. NDC started doing these talks on how I failed, which is kind of neat, right? You talk about how you failed on a project and what you learned from it. I think also there's like a helipad over here where people buying really nice cars get to fly in the helicopter, there it goes, to pick up your McLaren P1. I don't think I have any P1s left, your 650 or whatever it may be. Nice way to live. Anyway, so I also did the fail ones. Today on Friday, I'm also going to be doing a something something security talk. That is the name of the talk, something something security. It's going to have a bunch of things in it which have a lot of demos and useful things that hopefully people take a lot away from. So I'll be doing that tonight, and I'll be doing PubCon after that as well. And then I'm done from London, and I'll talk about the other places later on. So all that's really good. That's been really good fun. The other thing I thought I might talk about briefly, because I realized the other day how much it dominated my workshop, is HTTPS. Now, I'm actually editing a Pluralsight course at the moment on everything that developers should know about HTTPS. And it's a really interesting time for HTTPS for a few reasons. Lots of traction happening. I'll give you an example. Last week, the New York Times, as in the newspaper, went HTTPS only. Now, this is significant, right? Because it's not a bank, it's not handling your credentials, certainly not when you're just reading news articles and things like that. But they've said now is the time for us to be HTTPS only. And we're seeing this groundswell of other sites follow suit. When I went and had a bit of a look around, the Washington Post, also HTTPS only. Many other major news outlets like CNN, not so much, but it's coming. And there are things that are driving that. So for example, we're about to have Chrome 56 hit. And when Chrome 56 hits, it's going to start flagging websites where there's a login page or a credit card collection page served over HTTP, even if it posts to HTTPS. And it didn't used to happen, right? So this is a big change. They're also flagging the fact that in the future, Chrome and Firefox and others will start to flag non-secure sites as non-secure. And what that really means is we're saying, hey, instead of this sort of position where we only tell you when a site is secure, and we just don't say anything when it's not loaded securely, we're going to start doing both. We're going to start saying, this site is secure and you get the padlock and the green and all that sort of stuff. We're also going to start saying this site, such as CNN.com, is explicitly not secure. Now that's a very significant thing because that's going to move us from the unsecure by default or non-secure by default to start having an expectation of things being secure. So that's good news. We're also seeing a lot of traction with HTTPS in a few other ways. Mozilla tweeted in October that for the first time they saw more than 50% of page requests loaded securely. Now that's really cool in one way, in that more than half the traffic was secure. Not as cool insofar as that's not more than half the sites, it's just more than half the traffic. In terms of the sites that are doing everything secure, my mate Scott Helm does a bunch of really interesting reports on security headers and security behaviors of the top 1 million Alexa websites. And Scott's been doing these for a couple of years. He does them every 6 months and looks at the trends, right, and how they change. And his last report, which was August in 2016, found that about 13.5% of the Alexa top 1 million was actually forcing HTTPS. So they were 301ing any HTTP requests. Now, on the one hand, that kind of doesn't sound like a lot, right? Only 13.5%, long way to go. Significant thing is, as compared to August the year before, it had more than doubled. Now that's really good news, because if we keep doubling at that rate, we keep growing at that rate, we're going to see HTTPS become the standard within the next couple of years, and everything else will be exceptional. Along with that, we're seeing Let's Encrypt get lots of traction. They're growing very quickly, which is awesome. We're seeing Cloudflare and other services as well, which can give you HTTPS on existing websites, also grow very quickly. So all of this is moving in the right direction, and it is really, really positive news. Great time to be doing an HTTPS course and talking about the importance of it. So HTTPS your things if you haven't already, because sooner or later you'll be forced to. So that was that. I didn't get much time for blogging this week because of all the things I just mentioned. I did write my Security Sense column though, and I wrote about pragmatism. And I've sort of mentioned this multiple times before in numerous different blog posts and columns and things, where we need to be sensible about the application of security. We need to think about where it makes sense, where things like privacy are important, and also where we start to make concessions. So at what point do we say, well, I'm willing to give up maybe a little bit of privacy because I'm going to gain other things. And I'll give you an example because I did have a specific context. I bought some tiles the other day. Now, not the kind that you'd put on your roof, but rather the kind that you use so that you stop losing your keys because I kept losing my keys. Now what these are, there's a company called Tile. You'll find them on Twitter as the Tile app, that make these little sort of devices about yay big that you can clip onto your key rings. They make broader, flatter ones that you can put into your wallet. And the idea is that once you put these on your things, they can use Bluetooth to talk to your phone. And so long as you can see them, you can make them beep. Now, of course, when I say see them, so long as you're within Bluetooth range. So the other day when I lost my keys and I eventually discovered that they were somewhere kind of obvious in the garage, I know that sounds weird, but it was an obvious spot, I could have actually found them if they had been able to make them beep. Now this is cool, right? So you can make your things beep, and we've had these technologies for a long time. Where Tile's a little bit different is they say, well, what we're going to do is we're effectively going to crowdsource the beacons. Now think about what this means. If you're dependent on finding an item by being within Bluetooth range, i.e. if you're too far away, you just can't see it, then you've got a pretty small field of discovery. Now, here's where this really makes sense, right? And I'll talk about what I mean by crowdsourcing beacons. You can put a tile in your luggage, and your luggage can end up on the other side of the world, and you can still find it. And the reason why it works is because Tile crowdsources beacons by saying anyone who runs the Tile app on their phone can see your tiles. Now this has some obvious privacy implications, because what we're saying is that there's all these strangers all the way around the world looking at your particular tile obviously being able to uniquely identify it, and then their phone is calling back to base, sending the geolocation of where your thing is. And the reason why I wrote the piece, and the reason why I'm talking about it now, is that a few people said, well, this is a privacy issue, right? Like, your things are being not only seen by other people, although certainly within the way the app's meant to be used, you've got no visibility into whose things you're seeing. But at the very least, Tile as a company has your information. So they know where you're going. They know when you come and go, what places you go to, where your keys go as opposed to where your wallet goes. They have a lot of information. And the point about pragmatism is that, yes, this is a privacy consideration. I'm not sure it's a privacy problem, it's a privacy consideration. On the other hand, I really like my luggage, right? Like, it's not the luggage itself I like that much. I would really like not to lose all the things in my bag, because that would make my life very unpleasant. And I'm trading off a little bit of privacy, which could potentially be exploited, which shows my movements around the world, for the upside of being able to possibly, more likely, because it's not an absolute, more likely find my luggage if it gets lost. Now, I think the most important thing out of this, and look, whether it's Tile or whether it's any other aspect of security that requires some compromises, I think the most important thing is that it's a conscious decision. So I know I'm giving up this information, and I'm doing so in order to get some form of a return, which is that I may find my things later on. So have a read of that. I'll link to it in the notes on the blog post that goes with the video and then the audio. I think that's a really sort of common sense, pragmatic way of approaching things. Other people won't agree with me, which is absolutely cool, so long as it's a conscious decision. Last thing is, sponsoring my blog post this week is NetSparker. Sponsoring my blog post, sponsoring all of my blog this week is NetSparker. I'm really happy to have those guys on board, because I have used them of my own free volition many times in the past. I demo them in a lot of my workshops as well, because it's a really neat way of doing dynamic analysis in a way that developers can understand. A lot of security tools out there will give you big dynamic analysis reports that developers have trouble consuming. NetSpark actually makes sense. And now I'll link through to those guys as well. I've written, again, as I said, many things just because I thought it was good. I'm glad to have them around. They're going to be around for quite some time yet on my blog too. So big thanks to those guys. And I guess lastly, before I sign off, I'll show you just what is around here, because it's kind of nice. Great spot. There's Lars and James. Hey guys. And all the way around McLaren. And look, it's a blue sky in London. Isn't that amazing? Great spot here. All right, thanks very much for watching. Next week I'll be in Belgium, and I'll do a very different one from there. See you later.